Would you look at this? Oh, would you look at this? What is this, a pony?
No, the greyhound.
That's a dog.
That's a greyhound.
Oh, would you look at this? Come on, buddy, you can do it. Would you look at this? He's running. Hello, look at him. Just look at him. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Always. You know, when I see a car like this, first thing I do is I say, would you look at this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, would you look at that ocean? Just look at that ocean. Just look at it. Just look at it. Just look at that ocean. Just look at it. Are you training for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
No, it's not me.
No?
You're looking for a trainer? For
There's supposed to be a guy that's training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. They told me to come down and I'd be able to get in shape. Oh, he's so handsome. Look at him. Just look at him. Oh, wow. Would you look at this? He's got little the bells and whistles, too.
Yeah. I can hear her coming.
Yeah. Look at him. Oh, look at you. Look.
Oh, would you look at this? They're waiting for the bus. Just look at him. Just look at it. They're waiting for the bus. Mm. On a beautiful day like this, all you can do is just look at it.
Listen, I got pulled over in Jersey twice for not wearing a seatbelt in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
In the passenger seat.
Really?
And got a $40 ticket.
Yeah,
I said, would you look at that?
Hey, guys. How you doing? All right? I'm glad you guys are here for week two of Would You Look At That? Everybody here and everybody that's watching online, we're super excited because we're talking about what it means to make faith decisions, to take steps forward, and how when that happens, it's amazing. Because it's difficult to live by faith, and it's challenging to understand how God is in this life and says, hey, go ahead and just take a step forward, even though you can't see it. And so last week, with Would You Look At That Week 1, I talked about this. I said, faith in God means you make decisions based upon what He says. And so all of us have all these different voices, all these different things, all these different pieces of information that we can make our decisions based upon. And trusting God means you make a decision based upon what He says, not what you see. In fact, the Bible says that we live by faith, not by sight. This is in the New Testament. That we live by faith, not by sight. So if you're making a decision based upon what you can see, it's not faith. We're supposed to make our decisions when we trust God based upon the things that He has said. The things that He has communicated in the Bible. And that's really, really difficult to do. You see, living by faith in general is extremely difficult to do. My wife and I have three kids, and our oldest son, Kellen, is 5. And he did not sleep through the night until he was 18 months. So my wife didn't sleep for 18 months. And still, Kellen, last night, I am not just saying this for this talk. Last night, Kellen came into our bed and slept on top of us. And I just wanted to kick him out of the bed. And I have many times in the past. A couple years ago, when Kellen just loves to come into our room and he gets scared in his room and he sees things and he gets cold. And a couple years ago, I was like, we got to break this. And so I went to him with something that I thought would break this trend. And I said, Kellen, listen, buddy, if you sleep in your big boy bed all night, because you're a big boy. Aren't you a big boy? Yeah, I'm a big boy. My kids say, I'm big and big. I'm big and big. I said, you're big and big, aren't you? Yeah, I'm big and big. I said, if you sleep in your bed all night, I will take you to Target tomorrow and get you any toy you want. And you think that you liked toys when you were kids? Any of you? My son loves toys way more than anybody loves toys. He gets on YouTube and watches Hobby Kids TV and knows everything about toys. And then he comes into my room and he does little video presentations for me. Like, now look at this car. Don't you like the detail? This is Bane's truck. And I'm like, dude, he starts going into it. He loves toys. So when I told him, if you sleep in your bed, you'll get this amazing experience and you'll get to, dude, I thought for sure he's going to stay in his room. I told him. I made a promise to him. But I knew that he had to make that decision and trust his dad. And if he could trust his dad, then he would stay in his room. When he got afraid, then he'd stay in there, and the next day it would all pay off. And sure enough, 3 nights in a row I promised him. I mean, I was promising him stuff. Katie was getting freaked out. It was going to be like $500. I'll give you a new bike and 4 new basketballs and any toy you want in this side of the aisle. And he's just like, okay, I'm going to do it. Sure enough, 3 nights in a row, He just got scared. He wakes up. Even though I told him, even though it was so great, even though I had so much to offer him, even though it was just so wonderful, he sat there and he couldn't do it. He came into our room. Because living by faith, trusting in what someone says, is extremely difficult to do. Trusting in what God says is extremely difficult to do. You see, I feel like I would be doing everyone a disservice, especially high school kids who are just starting the faith journey, if I told you guys, it's easy. Just look at what the Bible says and do it. Oh, okay, well, that would be easy. Well, then you come to church and everyone's like living by faith and you're like, man, all these people, they're walking down this life and they just seem to be trusting God. And maybe in the back of your mind, you're going, that doesn't seem easy to me. You mean you guys do that because God says so? You mean you guys talk that way because God says so? You mean you guys live that way because the Bible says so? Come on. Faith is difficult. And so my heart today is to just take my arms, if you will, wrap them around our entire church and a big hug and say, I know it's tough to trust God. It's really tough to trust God. It's extremely difficult to just listen to what he says, read what he says, and do it. There's a lot that keeps us from doing that. And it's one thing if I said, you know, it's more difficult now to trust God than it ever, ever has been. You know, it's just a difficult time. Things are so different than they used to be. And back in the day when the Bible was written, man, it was a lot easier to trust God. But that just couldn't be further from the case, because actually trusting in God has always been an extremely difficult task. The first story that we see in the Bible is a story of faith. And you may not have viewed it that way. In the book of Genesis, when God creates the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and then he creates Adam and Eve, what he does is he blesses them and he puts them in this amazing place called Eden, and he gives them all this food and everything they could ever want, and he gives them authority and power, and he does all these amazing things to bless them. And then he says to them, you can eat anything. You're in charge of this. But you can't eat from this one tree, this fruit from this one tree. And listen, in that moment, faith opportunity entered into the world. Because in that moment, Adam and Eve had to make the decision from that day forward whether or not they were going to do what God said or not. Do what God says or not. What ends up happening is Adam and Eve are there at the tree, and this enemy, this serpent, it says in Genesis chapter 3, he comes into the picture, and for some reason at this moment, God's not there. Now, they had seen God and walked with God and had everything they could ever want, and then in comes this serpent-like creature, which the Bible calls as the devil, which the devil is this amazing, super strong spiritual being that used to be, when we look at the Bible, used to be part of God's team. And then at some point after the beginning of creation, the devil decided, I'm going to do it my way. And so for the rest of eternity, he was showing up in people's lives from the very beginning and even to today, offering people different opportunities to trust him instead of God. And the very first time is with Adam and Eve. God says, don't eat this. And then the serpent comes along. He goes, no, you should eat that. I'm telling you, what he said to you, you don't need to listen to that. Listen to what I'm saying. And now, Eve, Adam, are faced with a faith decision. Who are we going to trust? Are we going to trust what God says? Or are we going to trust what the enemy says? And then the enemy spins it up into this beautiful, enticing moment. Oh, come on. Doesn't this thing look pretty? Don't you like just want to hold it in your hand? Just look at this thing. Look at it. Would you look at it? It's just so red and beautiful. And come on. Don't you feel like if you ate it, like it would just satisfy your belly? I mean, you've had all these other things, but look at that. Would you look, come on. And then he actually tells him, he says, you know, you should eat this. Because when you eat this, you're going to gain power. You're going to gain control. You're going to gain this authority that God doesn't want you to have. And he lies and deceives. And Adam and Eve, in that very moment, They're sitting there. They have the choice to trust what God says or to trust what the snake says. And as you know, as the story goes, the first two people that had the first opportunity of faith failed. Faith is difficult. They failed. They decided not to trust God. I mean, have you ever thought about that? How difficult is it to trust God? I mean, come on, can't we figure this out? The first people with the first opportunity who were in the best place on earth and given everything they could ever want, loved and showered and given a home and given food and given love and given a direct relationship with God, could not trust God. So how is it that I could ever even pretend that it's easy for you or that it's easy for me? Or that this thing is just a journey. You just make a decision and you just start trusting God. Come on, it's easy. It couldn't be more difficult. In fact, we have what God says and we have what everything else says. And when you really break it down, faith in God is an unfair fight. It's difficult to do what he says. And then you have all these different stimulus coming at you saying, don't trust what God says. Do what feels good. Don't trust what God says. Do what looks good. Don't trust what God says. Do what gives you the most power and influence. Come on, do it this way. It's exactly what the snake did. And it's exactly what happens to you and me all the time. You see, there's four big reasons why putting your faith in God is an unfair fight. It's difficult just to listen to someone says and do it. But then on top of that, there's all this other stuff that plays against you. You see, the four reasons are exactly what the serpent did. And I just break them down this way. The first one is sight. You see, we live by faith, not by sight. So here's what the enemy does. And here's what happens is we see things. And we go, ooh, I gotta have that. Ooh, I gotta have that. And maybe God has said, you don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need that possession. You don't need more of that. You don't need more money. You don't need more of that different type of car. You don't need more clothes. You don't need that. You don't need that. And the enemy comes along and goes, yeah, but look at it. It's just so pretty. We just so want it. I mean, how many of us live in a world where we might know that God doesn't want us to have something, but when we see it, we just can't say no? Holler if you got the Apple Watch. I mean, nobody knows if they need that thing. They're just like, oh, it's an Apple Watch. I got to get it. Look how pretty it is. And I'm not hating on you if you have the Apple Watch. We need you to have the Apple Watch because I do not want to have to pull out my phone every time to check the weather. That is just laborious. My goodness. Hold on. What's the weather going to be like? Oh, hold on. Let me swipe down. And people with the Apple Watch can just go, it's going to rain. Now, that's not tough in Columbus. I'm just using it as an example. It's tough to trust in God when you see something and you got to have it. And it's so pretty and it's those new clothes or you get the earrings or the sparkles or whatever it is. The new shoes, the new house, the new whatever. God says, trust me. You may not need that thing, and then we just get sucked right in because it looks so good. It's the same thing that happened with Adam and Eve, and it makes faith really difficult. Another one, this is the same thing the snake did, the same thing that happens, is desire. Just desire, just what it feels like. See, it's one thing to see something, but then when you experience something in your flesh, and you taste it, and you feel it, and you go, ooh, and God says, no, you're not supposed to have that. You go, ooh, but it feels so good. It feels so good. You see, the quintessential example of touch and us indulging in the flesh is sex. You know, God says there's one way. This is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be husband and wife. This is the way that sex is the way you're supposed to get your physical desires. But then you just want to move outside of that. You just want to move on. Oh, it feels so good. And now I can go over here and I can do this person and that person, talk to this person, and feel it and touch it. It's so good. But it doesn't stop there. Food. Too much food, too little food. You go, I know I'm not supposed to eat that. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, God says. I know that I'm supposed to, by faith, take care of myself. But man, I just can't stop. For some people, they just can't start. And food is dominated. And you can't live by faith. It's tough. I'm not saying if you struggle with that, that it's not a real struggle. It's not a deep struggle. I'm saying it is real. It is deep. And doing what God says is very difficult. It's an unfair fight. The enemy's coming at you with sight. The enemy's coming at you with touch. Drugs. You know you shouldn't do drugs. You know that putting that in your body is not good. I mean, the law says so. Mom and dad say so. You know it's not good because you've watched the people that do it, and you're like, that's not good. But it just feels so good. Difficult to have faith in God when things look the way they do and things feel the way they do. Tough, almost unfair. How are we going to do it? I mean, that's my goal with you guys. How are we going to do this? Come on, this is too tough. Let's just give up. Come on, let's just give up. No more faith. It's just too stinking hard. Can we just not? I mean, it's just too hard. I just feel like I fail all the time. Sight, touch, done. The enemy goes on. He does all these different things. I mean, the next one he does is he basically says to them, you know, when you eat that apple, you're going to get all this wisdom and power. And it is so difficult, isn't it? When your ship comes in, right? Your ship comes in, everything's going the way you want it to go, and God goes, you know what? You could take that job, and I'm not saying if you did this, I'm just saying you know between you and God, you could take that job, but you shouldn't. Because of my family, because of this, because of that. But man, that's my ship, that's power, that's control. And the enemy goes, come on, don't you want more? And God goes, are you going to trust me or are you going to trust the new pay scale? Are you going to trust me or are you going to trust just the new influence that you think you're going to gain by doing it your own way or doing what this feels good to do? What are you going to do? You're going to trust me or you're going to trust that? And man, when you get the opportunity to get in the driver's seat, whatever that looks like, maybe in school it's betraying your best friend to get the best spot on the team. Maybe it's to gain some friends with girls. You say something to another girl that makes you win them as friends, but you betray your best friends. And God goes, you know, you're not supposed to talk about her that way. You know, you're not supposed to do that to your best friend. You guys are friends. But you go, I just can't help it. I want control. I want success. I want to elevate. And all this God is constantly saying, you can trust me or you can trust these. It's an unfair fight. It just feels like we should give up. It just feels like there's no hope. Come on, how are we going to live by faith? God, you're telling us to do what you say, and we see things, touch things, and desire things that are just so enticing, it seems impossible. And then what happens is the enemy, the snake, the serpent, and I know that's weird, and if you didn't grow up in church, it's like, what? It's crazy. We believe that by faith that there's an enemy, and he's the devil, and he does all these awful things. Some of us have experienced that directly. But what he does is he takes sight, touch, and control, and then he whips them up in front of you with lies. He comes at you and he literally says the opposite of what God says. He just tells you lies. He spins all this together and he says, this will be better. This will be better for you. Do it this way and you'll gain more control. And then you have what they had at the very beginning, a faith decision between what God says and what the enemy says and what your eyes see and what you touch and what you desire in the pride of your heart. And if you're really honest, you just fall to your knees and go, no way I can do what God says. No way, Joel, it just looks too good. It just looks too good, man. I got to have it. Joel, it just feels too good. I can't trust God. I got to do it. It feels good. Joel, it's just so much influence, just so much power. It's just so much control. It fills me up, makes me feel more valuable. I can't. I got to do it. And I'm just going to believe what he says because, man, all this stuff just makes so much sense. My goal is to kind of take the air out of this thing for a second, right? Whew, this is tough. I mean, for goodness sake, Adam and Eve, the first people, couldn't trust God. And then they had two kids. And I would love to say that their two kids just like did better than their parents, right? Like, you know, that's like a great thing. You know, the kids come along and they live and they do it better. Well, two boys, one of them kills the other one. And the whole scenario is around faith. You know that in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a book in the New Testament, it talks about the greatest examples of faith. It's really interesting because the author starts not just with the greatest example of faith, but the first example of faith. Because Adam and Eve failed, so they didn't trust God. And then Cain and Abel, God told them, he said, bring to me in your labor the first fruits that come from what you do and offer it to me. And it says in the Bible that Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain. And what that means is Abel listened to what God said. He didn't know. He just trusted. He just said, okay, I'm going to do what God says. And then thousands of years later, he is known as the guy that was the first person to do what God says by faith. I wish I could tell you, you know what, guys, it's easy to walk by faith, but look at this. These are the first four people on the planet. 25% of them live by faith. I mean, 25%. I got to be honest, when I think about Jesus saying that, wide is the road to destruction, narrow is the road to salvation. I think of that, right? Maybe that's just about right. About 25% of us, and forget whether you go to church or grew up in the church or you love the church or you know the Bible. Forget all that stuff. Do you live by faith? I would have to say even the people that grow up in the church, they get it all, they know it all, they say it all, they act it all, they kind of do this thing. They don't actually live by faith. Only 25% of us are actually doing it. And I would have to say, if I'm totally honest with you, I've trusted God and I want to live by faith. But I would have to tell you that I probably am only successful 25% of the time. Because it's so stinking hard to trust God. There's a great story of the man that walked a tightrope across Niagara Falls. This is back in like 1860. His name was Charles Bulldean or something like that. And this man was like super talented. And it's a quarter of a mile long. And he walked across 160 feet above Niagara Falls like a bunch of times. He did it a bunch of times. He did it in a sack, like a potato sack or a pillow sack. How many pillow people are in the room? We got pillow people or pillow people? I'm a pillow. P-I people. Pillow. Pillow, okay? He did it in a sack across. It says that he did it on a unicycle, on a bicycle. He carried a barrel over his head. This guy walked across this tightrope, quarter of a mile, a bunch of times. And one of the times he went to the Canadian side, all the people were just watching him and marveling. And they just celebrated him, and they said, you are incredible. You are so good at this. And he's like, okay, that's awesome. Thank you. And they're like, you're amazing at walking the tightrope. It's just so amazing. And he said, okay. And a guy pulled up a wheelbarrow, and he goes, if I'm so good at it, who's going to get in this wheelbarrow and go across with me? And not one person would. And he's like, come on, you saw me. I got good weight distribution. Look, did you see me with the barrel? Did you see me with the tricycle? Did you, tricycle, probably not the tricycle. Did you see me with the unicycle? I walked into that one. He's going, I've been down this rope before. You can trust me. Not one person will get in the wheelbarrow. It's a story of how difficult it is, right, to trust someone, to actually do what God wants us to do. I got to tell you, when I think about faith and I think about the four different things that we're just constantly being dominated by, trusting God is difficult. It's an unfair fight. There's this new thing in MMA, I don't know if you know, team fighting. Be cautious, but YouTube it. Seriously, you watch these guys, they're all dressed up, four guys in blue, four guys in black, and then they just pummel each other. And as soon as one of them goes down, then all four of them go off to the next three, and now it's 4-on-3. And then when some guy goes out, now it's 4-on-2 or 3-on-2. And it gets down to the 2-on-1, and then the other guys recover, and it's 4-on-1. And you watch it, and I hate watching fighting. My brothers used to fight. I hate watching. I would cry. Oh, they're fighting. They're punching each other. You're like, Joel, you're a pansy. I am a pansy. I am. I don't want to fight. I don't like fighting. I don't. I don't like to fight. It doesn't make me happy. I don't like, because I know what's going on in there, you know, all that aggression. Sorry. But I'm watching this, and after you get to the end of this fight, and it's 1-on-4, I'm going, it's over, it's over. Are you kidding me? One of those guys alone could beat up probably that dude after he got pummeled by the three other. Now it's 4-on-1, and they're relentless, just going, boom. And I'm just like, man, let him go, let him go. Come on, blow the whistle, throw in the towel. It's got to be over. That's what I feel like faith can be. So difficult It's an unfair fight. And here's the kicker. The only way through is if you go with God. And I know I sound simple. Faith in God is an unfair fight if you do it alone. You're not designed to have faith in God by yourself. You're supposed to have a personal interaction with the God of the universe that gives a special, unique fuel to live by faith. That is super powerful, that is super, it's helpful, it's meaningful, it's real, it's alive, it lives inside of you, it's God in you, and he's there to help you live by faith. And he knows how difficult it is. He knows how difficult it is. So he's made himself available to you so that you can walk by faith with God. You see, Jesus Christ, after he lived this amazing life on earth, his last words, I mean, I am telling you, last words, last verse of Matthew 28, the very last piece, Jesus hits this difficulty of faith piece right between the eyes. And he talks about faith. And his disciples, of anyone, you got to understand, I know you think faith is difficult. His disciples had so much trouble trusting God. They knew it to the nth degree. You and I, we haven't walked around with Jesus. These guys walked around with Jesus. They watched him do miracles. They watched him do amazing stuff. 3 years. Last night, I was watching just The Passion of the Christ came on, an amazing movie about the life of Jesus. And the scene was on when he's in the garden after he's praying, and the guards are coming to get him with Judas to take him away to be crucified. And just in masterful cinematic fashion, everything slows down and gets slow-mo, and Judas comes up and kisses Jesus on the cheek, and he says, "You betray the Son of Man with a kiss," and it's just unbelievable, the look in Jim Caviezel's face as that interaction is happening. Most of the disciples just run away. And then the guards, they just start to go after Jesus, and Peter, of first, he goes like this. He grabs his sword and he's fighting with them, and he just hacks half of the guy's head off and takes off his ear. And it's not in the text, but what happens in the movie is they apprehend Peter, and Jesus gets on the ground with the soldier, and you can see his bloodied ear. And he reaches over and he puts on a new ear, and he yells out, "Peter, put your sword away. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword." Peter drops his sword, and the guard stays on his knees and can't believe what just happened. And he's asking the cosmic question, "Are we doing the right thing here? This guy just put my ear back on." The guards see that. They still take Jesus away to be crucified. The rest of the disciples see that. They run and they scatter. When Jesus is on trial, they're nowhere to be found. Jesus raises from the dead, and the fishermen have gone back to just be fishing for fish and not fishing for men. After 3 years, their faith is gone. And Jesus goes back to them, and he invites them all to breakfast. He goes, "Okay, we got to start over. I know this faith thing is crazy hard. It's crazy difficult. You got to learn to trust me. You got to learn to follow me. I love you. Will you go tell people about how much I love them? Will you do that?" And they're going, yeah, we will. And as Jesus is raising off the ground, he tells them these famous last things, and they're going, "Jesus, don't go away." And they're like, I can see him like grabbing his ankles. Like, "Come back. We can't do this with you here, let alone with you gone." He's like, "Get off me. Get, Peter." He raises up a little higher because none of the disciples were probably over 6 foot. No LeBron James disciples. And Jesus gets up to about 20 feet, and he's just like hovering. And he's like, "I'm telling you, I know living by faith is tough. I know it's difficult, but I want to make you a promise." And he says, "Go into all the world. Tell everyone about me. Tell them to follow me." And he says this, he says, "And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And then he says this at the very end, "And surely I am with you. I am with you. Always, to the very end of the age. He says, you guys, I'm not going to let you take on this life and the challenge of trusting God in every area with all these different challenges and assaults on your person and in terms of what you see and what you feel and what you want and the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to let you do that alone. I'm going to be with you. And the scripture says, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says, you're going to have trouble. It's going to be difficult to live by faith. But he says to them, right before he kind of goes into the last season of his life, he says to all of his disciples, he goes, you're going to have trouble, but I'm going to send another version of me to live inside of you. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus says, I know that you watched me and lived with me and walked with me, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, which is me, in a different version, and I'm going to live inside of you, and I'm going to be with you. And here's what you have to do. You have to decide to listen to the Spirit of God. You see, the Bible says that if we listen to the Spirit of God, we will not carry out the desires of our flesh. And so here is the challenge for you. You have to start to listen to that still small voice. You see, when I trust God, it's because I've heard what he said, and then he says it again. And I erase sight, and I erase touch, and I erase pride, and I go, what is God saying? And I'm telling you, in that moment, and I promise you guys, as a pastor of a church, I'm 25% of doing it all the time, because it's so hard for me to hear the voice of God, even though he's living inside of me. But when he leads me and I follow, it is the time of my life I live by faith. The Spirit of God can be with you all the way to the end of the age to help you live by faith. That's the only way we get through it. That's the only way we can battle through this thing together. Faith is an unfair fight. If you do it alone, don't do it alone. There's a masterful TV show on right now called Running Wild with Bear Grylls. And this week I saw it for the first time, and it was Bear Grylls with Kate Hudson, right? And she's just like, oh, I'm so excited. They're gonna go over these mountains in Italy. And she's just like, hasn't even got done primping, and she's like talking, and she's like, I don't know how we're gonna do this. I don't know how we're gonna do this. And they get to this piece, and Bear Grylls is like, yeah, we're gonna go over this thing over there, and he starts talking, and you're just like, man, he's cool. Man, that Bear Grylls, he's a real man. That's what I'm thinking. He's a real man. I'm apparently not, because I'm like more like Kate Hudson than Bear Grylls. I'm just like, give me my morning ice pack for my eyes, because they're too puffy. She does that in it. It's crazy. But that's more me than Bear Grylls. And Bear Grylls is like, literally, he goes over and he picks up ants. And he's like, these are good. And I'm like, bleh. But Bear Grylls is going, come on, we're going to go over this mountain. And they start hiking up the side of this mountain. And they get to a point where they have to do this crazy thing. And Bear ties a rope to Kate. He ties a rope to her waist. And then he climbs up, free climbs over this boulder. He gets to the top, he wraps it around something, and she's like, he's like, okay, come on up. And she's like, I'm not Bear Grylls, I can't climb, I can't. He's like, I got you. I got you. I'm with you. I mean, literally, he said the word, I got you. And he starts, she's like, it's so funny, it's like, there's no way that I could climb that rock without someone, because she's climbing the rock, and you can see him pulling the rope, right? And he's pulling Kate Hudson up a mountain, because there's no way that she could get through it without him. And they kept going to her, looking in the camera, going like this. The only way I'm doing this is with Bear. I mean, it's Bear Grylls. That's how you make it. You gotta have the right person with you. You guys, Trusting God is an unfair fight if you do it alone, but if you have the Holy Spirit of God, then He can give you power that you didn't know you had so you could live by faith. The way you have to look at this is like, what is your biggest problem? What's the mountain in your life? What are you struggling with? What's the relationship? What's the financial piece? What's the mom and dad scenario, the school scenario? What is it? And I want to ask you something. Do you want to climb that mountain on your own, or do you want to go with Bear Grylls? Or do you want to ask Jesus Christ to go with you? Faith in God is an unfair fight if you do it alone. There's a story about Albert Einstein. Raise your hand if you know who Albert Einstein is. Albert Einstein, one day he was on a train and he was driving somewhere and the conductor comes through and he's punching people's tickets. And he gets to Albert Einstein and he was already really well known at the time. And so the conductor says, "Hey, Albert, what's up?" I don't know what he said. And he said, "You have your ticket." And Albert went like this and he goes, "Oh, I lost my ticket." And the conductor goes, "That's okay. That's all right. I know you. You're fine. I'm sure you bought a ticket." So he goes on. He keeps punching people's tickets. And before he gets out of the train, he looks back and he sees Albert Einstein on all fours looking around for his ticket. And the guy runs back and he goes, "Hey, I told you, man. I know you bought a ticket. You're fine. I know that you did." And he goes, "I know who you are. I know that you're Albert Einstein." And Albert Einstein goes, "I know who I am too. I just don't know where I'm going." He forgot his destination, and he needed to figure it out. And my question to you is, do you know where you're going? Because the answer to that question is the same answer to, do you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you who can help you through life's biggest challenges? Because the two are combined, what happens is you come to a point in your life where you say, "I know that without God, I am headed for eternal separation from God. Without Jesus, I am headed for eternal separation, but I want to know where I'm going. When this whole life is over, I want to know where I'm going." And what happens is when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then your eternal destination is sealed, and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and He walks with you and talks with you and gives you the pieces you need to live a life by faith. And I want to ask you if you want to ask Jesus to come into your life, to take up that place, to take up that seat that only He can take. And what will happen is this, is you will start to live by faith. You will listen to what God says, and you will actually do what God says. And you will feel the tension, and you will feel the pressure, but you will have God living inside of you. And all the people in your life, in your family, will go, "Would you look at that?" when you start to live by faith. And some of us just needed to be reminded, right, that we need to live by faith, that we need to do what God says and not what all these other pieces say. And some of us need the Spirit of God to live inside us for the first time. So I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to ask Jesus into your life, then now's the moment to do that. Let's say a prayer. God, thank you so much for how much you love us. Thank you so much for giving us the Holy Spirit of God, who is with us, who is in us, who can help us through life's greatest challenges if we would just listen. And God, it's an unfair fight if we do it alone, but we're not designed to do it alone. We're designed to do it with you living inside of us, and that's the first step. So I just pray right now, God, if there's anybody in here that has never invited Jesus into their life, that right now in their heart they would say this, "Jesus, I know you love me. I know you died for me. And I don't really understand all the bits and pieces of faith, but I want to right now put my faith in you. I want to ask that you wipe away my sin, and I want to trust that you took my place on the cross, died for me, so that I can have an eternal relationship with you. God, thank you for coming and living inside of me. Now, God, help me to listen to you in me as long as I'm on earth." In Jesus' name, amen.